I've been talking with John Hammersmith of NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, about the American space program. The book is called Man's Conquest of Space. So if you have space questions, send them in to us. It's The Breakfast Show. Voice of America, Washington.
Dear Mr. Voice of America, since I have my transistor radio, I listen to you every day. However, in 1969, during the Apollo moon landing, I had no radio then. What were the first words your great American astronauts said when they landed on the moon? Can you please play it for me? Yours truly, Kidlat Tahimik, President of the Wernher von Braun Fan Club of Balian.
Kidlat, sobra naman ang tulog mo. Poros Miss Universe at Disneyland ang pinapanaginipan mo.
I do not dream of Disneyland anymore, Mama. I dream of Cape Canaveral.
Huli ka na. Hinihintay ka ni San Marcos.
Dear Voice of America, where can I get an autographed picture of Wernher von Braun?
$600 million, which is about the same type of expenditure for the Mars Viking lander. However, the Apollo program was much more expensive, perhaps 20 times that, at $20 billion.
My most important passenger is San Marcos, patron saint of Balian. It is said that when the Americans were bombing the Japanese in the war, San Marcos protected us from the mad American bombs. I bring San Marcos to church every day with his lion. I know that when there will be an atomic war, San Marcos will protect me from the H-bomb.
That was an excerpt from the film Perfumed Nightmare by Philippine filmmaker Kidlat Tahimik, who will be in Hudson presenting the film this Thursday at the Basilica Hudson on Front Street. Here to talk to us a little bit about the film is Eileen Nash, who programs films at the Basilica. Eileen's a curator and a writer. She's involved in the winter with the Berlin Film Festival, and she's with me right now in the Hudson studio. Hi, Eileen.
Hi.
So tell me a little bit about this film and why you're so excited about it.
Yeah, I thought I'd first read a quick quote kind of describing the film. It's by Gene Youngblood, who is a art and media theorist and critic. He says, "In his primitive village, he worships the heroism of the machine, the sleek beauty of rockets, and the efficiency of industrialism. He's the president of his own Wernher von Braun fan club. He longs to visit Cape Canaveral to experience those shimmering wonders he knows from the movies, from soldiers, from The Voice of America. This is a bizarre hallucinatory movie full of dazzling images and outlandish ideas. It's both real and surreal, poetic and political, naive and wise, primitive and supremely accomplished. Tahimik is a master of metaphor. There's the metaphor of the bridge that connects his past, present, and future with the great world beyond. And there's the metaphor of the film itself, produced single-handedly for $10,000. It is a triumph of the cottage industry, a dazzling testament to the liberty of the imagination. With his very first film, Kidlat Tahimik has introduced a classic." And I think that describes the film pretty well. It's an interesting kind of uncategorizable film that is, you know, a hybrid of documentary and narrative and essay. But with that said, it's very formally cohesive. So it's the filmmaker's first film, and he made it between 1975 and 77. And he basically plays a caricature of himself. And the film starts out in this small village of his where he was born in the Philippines. And this character, Kidlat Tahimik, which originally was this the name of his character, and by the end of the film, he actually took on this name as his own.
Oh, that wasn't his name
to begin
before
with,
the film.
No.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing with his films. Greatly deal with just kind of making sense of American cultural colonialism over the Philippines. And he was born in 1942 during the occupation. Mm. And during that time, a lot of people were named American names. Like, his first name is actually Eric. And he, renaming himself was kind of a way of, going against this and kind of taking on and figuring out his own identity. So he plays this version of himself and as a jitney driver in this town. And a jitney is this vehicle that they take these war jeeps and kind of build them into bus, taxi type vehicles that, are in these little villages. So he's one of these jitney drivers. And the first half of the film takes place in this town, and you meet kind of different characters in this town, and, he listens to Voice of America and dreams of going to America, and he kind of idolizes this one woman, the, richest woman in town, who's the only person he knows who's ever been on an airplane. And then this character comes in who is kind of representative of an American Western capitalist, and he invites Kidlat to go to Paris to work in his business. So Kidlat goes to Paris, and obviously he's so excited to go on an airplane, and his job that he gets is to fill these bubblegum dispensers all around Paris with gum, with little bubble gumballs. And I feel like the gum itself is a metaphor for the candy and gum given to him as a child by the American soldiers. And so there's the second half of the film takes place him in Paris, and then he even makes his way to the homeland of Wernher von Braun and checks out Germany, and then he kind of begins to, or along the whole film is questioning what these cultural influences are, and by the end he's kind of come to some realizations about what all these things mean,
It's fun to hear you tell the plot, because I didn't know any of what you just said, but I was reading just a little bit about the film before today's show, and I copied this line from somewhere. It said, "The movie is an anthology of bridges and rocket-shaped structures, along with gumballs, eggs, and onions." I was like, what? And you've started to connect some,
right.
Connect some of those dots. But some of what I was reading was also talking about the film, the style of the film. And you mentioned the budget that the film was made on, but it was some of what I was reading about had to do with the kind of crude production value of the film and its non-technique and the sort of integration of form and content, and that it was
The whole film is shot on a Bolex, so there's no sync sound, and so all of the and the sound design is so sophisticated and amazing, and he everything's done post-production, so there's this there is some parts that are dialogue, but it's all post-produced, so it has this funny, like, uncanny feeling to it, which is kind of adds to the atmosphere of the film. And he's amazing at weaving in music and street recordings and he just shot it all, you know, himself on a Bolex 16mm. So it's definitely a homemade movie.
And it strikes me, just even from that very short excerpt that we played, that the weaving humor into it too, which is reading a description of the film, or even just the one line description, which says this is a sort of semi-autobiographical fable telling the story about a awakening to and reaction against cultural colonialism, and then to hear something that makes you laugh is
exactly, yeah. And that's like his brilliance, is that his film is politically incisive, yet it's always situating the political within the personal, and it allows for this accessibility. And he's so funny, and like the whole film is so enjoyable and innocent, and be, you know, wise at the same time. And it's definitely, it's not an overly intellectualized film about, you know, this political situation. It's deeply personal and, yeah, thoroughly enjoyable, I would say.
So he'll be here on Thursday.
Yeah.
At the screening. Is this part of he's doing a tour?
Yeah, exactly. So I helped co-organize his U.S. retrospective tour. So there'll be, his whole retrospective will be showing in New York City at Anthology Film Archives, and that's between October 26th to the 30th, and he will also be there. And then the tour goes on to Harvard Film Archive and to Berkeley Art Museum, Pacific Film Archive out in Berkeley. And he'll be coming from New Orleans Film Festival tomorrow. But he'll be doing a class visit at Bard on Wednesday, and then on Thursday he will be at the Basilica for a screening. And we're showing it on 16mm, which is very exciting and special. And we will also have curator and critic Ed Halter come to introduce the film, and he'll be in discussion with Kidlat. And Ed is a director of Light Industry, which is a venue for film and electronic art in New York City, and he just co-curated the Whitney Biennial Film Program. Mm. So we're really excited. And he also is a professor at Bard, so we're excited to have him for the screening as well.
And tell me the details of this, like the time.
Yeah, so it's 8 p.m. at Basilica, Thursday the 18th.
Anything else we should definitely know?
I'm trying to think. I guess just one little anecdote I wanted to give is a run-in he had with Werner Herzog early on, and actually this is a lot of people's favorite films, and Herzog said it was one of the most original and poetic works of cinema made anywhere in the 70s. And Susan Sontag also said that Perfume Nightmare makes one forget months of dreary movie going, for it reminds one that invention, innocence, enchantment, and insolence are still possible in film.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It does seem, even just classic, like,
yeah,
there's a real following behind
is.
It.
Yeah, and even Jay Hoberman, like, when he reviewed it in the 80s, had said, like, this is definitely going to be a classic. Just this one anecdote I wanted to share is, Kidlat had spent several years in Europe, kind of in the early part of his life, and he had met Herzog and wanted to talk to him about this film he wanted to make, which was Perfume Nightmare. And Herzog was like, well, I'm a very busy man, but if you want to come along to the screening I have to go to present my film, you can tell me about your movie idea. So he went with him, and it was 400 kilometers each way, which is like a 4-hour drive each way. And Kidlat you know, there were 40 people at this film screening, and Kidla asked him, "Are you disappointed?" And Herzog says, "No, I'm not disappointed, because we must learn to cultivate our audience, and to teach people to appreciate film, we must start somewhere." And Kidla was really touched by that, and he said it had, like, stayed with him for a long time, that you really, with these films that are kind of, you know, go beyond normal movies, that you really have to start small and cultivate an audience. Mm. And that really speaks to what we're doing at Basilica, I think. And yeah, so we hope that we will get people to come out to see this amazing film.
But if nobody comes, you can still feel like you've done
exactly.
Werner. You've done him good. Eily, thanks for joining me. I'm actually going to go out with another little excerpt, because these are so fun to listen to. Another excerpt from the film. This is Perfumed Nightmare, screening this Thursday at the Basilica Hudson. Thanks, Eily.
Thanks.
Kidlat, who would you want to meet most in America?
In America, I would like to meet Wernher von Braun, the man who built the bridge to the moon.
Hitler, why do you admire America so much?
Because in America, I could become an astronaut. Here, I am only a jeepney driver.
All these bright colored taxis, where do they come from?
These are vehicles of war, which we made into vehicles of life.